The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, delivering an unrivaled range of assets, inspect and repair services across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A week in which the First Minister opened an innovative new energy facility in Aberdeenshire. The headquarters of the Green Investment Bank were revealed. Donald Trump was invited to give evidence in Parliament, and £1 billion investment in onshore wind was announced. At the start of the week, the First Minister opened ProServe's new subsea test and assembly facility near Echt. Earlier this year, the company pledged to create up to 50 new jobs in the city and shire. And Alex Salmond says it will be a vital catalyst in Scotland's energy future.
Well, I think it's fantastic news for the company, obviously, for Scotland in general, and particularly for young people in Scotland, because this is the new training and demonstration centre here in Echt. ProServe is a company based, of course, in West Hill. It's a company now servicing, 12 international oil and gas markets, almost 1,000 people working for them, a turnover of more than £100 million, and many, many young people coming into the company being trained in these skills. It's also a company moving into offshore renewables, so they have a tremendous future as a company. And the youngsters who are in the new modern apprenticeships and are going through them, they've got tremendous life chances, and that's absolutely great on every possible criteria. This is great news.
How important is it for the city and shire to have facilities like the one here in Birchmoss?
It's very important. I mean, we've got 25,000 apprentices in Scotland now, which is the highest ever. I mean, that's 60% more than in 2007. And so we're actually training about 60% more people in apprenticeships than we were before the recession. And that's important because every apprentice in Scotland has a job. Unlike elsewhere, every single apprentice has a job. So these youngsters who are going through the course here, being trained here in Echt, are folk who are in jobs with careers before them. And we, you know, we see, in, even in this difficult times, hugely difficult times for youth employment, you know, companies in the energy industry saying we're going to be short of skills, and therefore we have to respond to that and have done through the MA system. But companies like this are taking the bull by the horns and saying, right, we'll have our training facility here and we'll make sure that we've got the right folk and right calibre, because the ProServe realise if they're going to be successful and a huge company internationally, then they've got to have great people, and that's absolutely critical. So it's a grand thing to be doing for all sorts of reasons, but I love to see an Aberdeenshire-based company being successful like this one is.
Is this potentially attracting the next generation of young talent in this industry?
Well, you know, there was a long debate about, you know, why the oil and gas sector had difficulty attracting folk into it. And one of the reasons, of course, was up until recently, people thought it was a sunset industry. You know, they thought, oh, well, what's the point of going to oil and gas? It's all going to be over in 10 years because, you know, Westminster politicians keep saying that. But actually the reality is that the waters around Scotland have another 40 years anyway of employment opportunities. Secondly, the renewable energy sector in Scottish waters is going to be gone for centuries. And the other important development is the companies which are based in Scotland, of course, are expanding worldwide, and in the subsea market in particular, but across the technology areas which ProServe excels in. So if you wanted, you could start your apprenticeship now and pursue your entire career in the waters around Scotland for oil and gas, or you could transfer into offshore renewables or pursue that in a company like ProServe, which will be in both markets, or alternatively, you could pursue your career in international oil and gas markets. So, you know, what a fantastic prospect for youngsters, and that a company like ProServe is giving people the opportunity to engage in that career. And you can see by the beaming smiles of the youngsters who are getting their certificates today that they're looking forward to a fantastic career, and let's hope there are many, many thousands of Scottish youngsters who have the same opportunity.
How pleased are you on, you know, congratulating the four apprentices today?
Yeah, I had a good talk with them, and you know, I said, you know, what do you think of it so far? And they all said it's brilliant. And I said, no, you're meant to say rubbish. When somebody asks you that question, you're definitely meant to say rubbish. But no, they're looking forward to their careers. They're walking in air just now. They're walking in air, but of course they have to learn to work in subsea conditions.
The company's CEO, David Lamont, says it's an exciting time.
Tell our listeners about the new facility here in Birchmoss.
It's a facility set up with the intention of servicing and building subsea equipment for the production and drilling market. So really following on from work that we've previously done here, it's doubling the size of our effective facility here.
Do you see a lot of interest from young people joining your apprentice scheme?
Yes, we do. In fact, We had four people that received their certificates today. We're accelerating that, probably picking up by about a third this year in our headcount of apprenticeships. So it's a great program.
And what will the new facility here create job-wise?
We expect to increase the headcount this year by about 40 people to 50 people, but that's probably, you know, our estimate right now. It depends very much on demand for the facility and also what the overseas demand is on people from this facility.
I've seen the press release that it's the first of its kind in the UK. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
That's mainly to do with the scale and the weight of equipment we can work on, and the testing facilities we have here for testing the subsea equipment.
The training programme, you know, is it effectively hands-on experience they'll be getting?
Absolutely. It's a combination of formal work in a classroom and hands-on experience with obviously qualified people across various parts of our business, those the fitting, the building, and then the servicing and installation. So it's quite broad, and it's both hands-on and formal.
On Wednesday, Donald Trump was invited to appear at the Scottish Parliament to voice his concerns about renewable energy. The tycoon's been spearheading a campaign against wind farms amid plans for 11 turbines off the coast of his many estate golf course. Tory MSP Murdo Fraser is chair of Holyrood's Economy and Energy Committee.
We treated the application from Donald Trump as we would an application from any witness with a legitimate interest. He won't get any special treatment, but it's clear there will be a lot of public and media interest in what he has to say. There will be interest created in the committee's inquiry. That's not in itself necessarily a bad thing. We're dealing with very serious issues here about the future of Scotland's energy supply and whether the renewable energy targets set by the government are a good thing or not. And if we see more public interest in that as a result of Mr. Trump's appearance at the committee, I think that's a positive.
The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, delivering asset integrity solutions to the global energy industry.
The following day, it was announced the headquarters of the UK Green Investment Bank will be in Edinburgh. It will employ up to 70 staff in Scotland and London, managing £3 billion of investment in renewable energy and waste recycling schemes. The First Minister has long campaigned for the Scottish base and was delighted with the news.
We've been campaigning for it, Scottish Enterprise, Edinburgh Council, across the parties in the Scots Parliament, of course, on a cross-party basis, Scottish Government. Yeah, so it's a big win for Scotland. Vote of confidence in the financial sector in Scotland. And secondly, of course, Scotland's renewable potential. It's a realisation, of course, when it comes to electricity generation, that Scotland's going to have to contribute a third of the total in these islands for the targets to be anywhere met. And secondly, when it comes to offshore, then we've got perhaps a quarter of the renewable energy potential of the continent of Europe.
Scottish Secretary Michael Moore says it's a sign of great confidence in Scotland.
The £3 billion that the UK Green Investment Bank will invest will be across the whole of Britain, but it will be led from Edinburgh to ensure that we invest in areas of the green economy that are not currently getting private sector investment. Together, we'll be much more effective, particularly in areas where we don't get private investment at the moment, so in waste management, in green economy, infrastructure. It will make a big impact on Edinburgh because not only will there be jobs here, but it will also bring the green economy's experts to cluster around it. It's a big vote of confidence in Edinburgh and Scotland.
And a homegrown energy firm has revealed plans to invest more than £1 billion, developing 10 wind farms at locations across Scotland. Burcote Wind, based in Dunfermline, claim the projects could create around 600 jobs. Proposals are currently in the consultation phase, including one site in Aberdeenshire. Chairman Graham Brown spoke to Energy Week.
Well, what it is, it relates to 10 projects that we're going to be pursuing in Scotland, which in turn relate to over 800 megawatts of potential generating capacity from wind, which in turn would power over 500,000 homes.
I mean, it sounds like a huge project. I understand it's a total investment of around £1 billion. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, one has to recognise that we're talking about potentially 10 projects here. So, you know, you need to break that down into 10 projects. But in total, if all these projects go all the way through, then it does represent a pretty significant output and potentially a very significant investment in Scotland, both in terms of in terms of output as far as renewable energy goes, but also potential job creation as well. So it is potentially a very significant investment, yes.
Absolutely, and I think if we're talking about jobs figures, it's over 100 permanent jobs, approximately 475 construction jobs. I mean, can we speak, if you like, because obviously we're up in the northeast in Aberdeen City and Shire. I understand one of the projects is earmarked for our area. Can we speak about that in particular?
Yeah, well, there's one project already in the public domain. There's another project that we're looking at. In fact, the one in Aberdeenshire that's known at the moment is at a place called Mickleton, which is actually the smallest of the projects. That's the other nine are all in excess of 50 megawatts. This is probably only going to be about 12 megawatts. But there is potentially another site that we will be announcing in the near future.
Fantastic. So what is the next step? I understand you still need to get consent for this.
Yeah, well, what happens here is that we go through the process of, securing particular sites that we've established as being suitable, having good wind resource, having suitable access. And then we go through the process of more detailed evaluation and investigation as we look at preparing environmental impact assessments. We consult at a very early stage with the community, and this is something that we're very, very keen on, so that we do want to bring people along with us, and we do want to listen to where people have concerns, and where it's possible, we will try and adapt schemes as well. So that's all part of this ongoing process. You know, we will be looking at things like bird surveys, which can take anything from 1 to 2 years. And all this comes together and we submit a formal application then.
Fantastic. I mean, before we go into, I mean, obviously there's quite a lot of controversy around wind power, especially in Scotland at the moment. It's with the emergence of, you know, Donald Trump has kind of jumped on the bandwagon as well. But first of all, can we speak about, you know, with this massive investment, obviously you're really keen to contribute to Scotland as a country and, you know, the Scottish Government, their ambitions to really put Scotland on the forefront of renewable energy?
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we recognise. Scotland has a fantastic wind resource. It's the windiest country in Europe. But I think supporting that is the Scottish Government's determination and drive to establish itself as a real centre for renewable energy. And that is something that is of great benefit to Scotland, but also it's about addressing some of the other issues that we are all aware of, such as helping with climate change and reducing CO2 emissions, but also using a resource that is freely available. And this is set against, you know, a backdrop where we have finite fossil fuel resources and also security of supply. We all know where some of the fossil fuel resources come from, and then, you know, they're not exactly the most stable parts of the world. So that's something else that we need to be mindful of as well, and this is really where renewable energy can make a massive contribution.
I mean, if we move on now to, as I said, we'll come back to the controversies. We have another project up here, you know, the one off Aberdeen Bay. I don't know if you're aware of it. That's under consultation by Marine Scotland at the moment, and that's met quite a lot of controversy from both Mr. Donald Trump, you know, RSPB. You already mentioned the birds there. I mean, how is it that you mentioned that you would like to, you know, kind of have dialogue with the people that would criticise it? I mean, how would you like to do that?
Well, part of what we do is when we announce a project, we do organise formal community consultation and do speak with all the relevant parties. So it's a normal part of our process. And at that stage, it gives communities a chance to express their views, their concerns. And it is something we do take very seriously. But equally well, we are also looking to bring benefits to communities. And so we're also keen and very keen to hear areas where we can perhaps bring something to those communities.
And just finally from me, I think it's always it's a great news story, you know, when it's a kind of a homegrown company like Bricot Wind investing yep. at home.
Well, I think it is, and it's not only that we're a homegrown company, but we also are determined where possible to bring any benefit, both in terms of jobs, training, etc., and have those really firmly rooted and based in Scotland. So that's another huge benefit that we see in our project.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, a leading energy support partner where safety and people always come first.